Start with a prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. I want to concentrate on what this story tells us about the power of the Holy Spirit. I also want to use the story of how the Spirit worked in Peter's life to remind us that the Holy Spirit is still at work and still highly relevant today in all our lives. We've just heard the story of the coming of the Holy Spirit in power, blessing Jesus' disciples, strengthening them, and enabling them to do incredible things. It's nothing less than the story of the birth of the Christian church after Jesus' ascension. It is the beginning of the history that took the church from 120 active believers in Jerusalem into the lives of over 2.4 billion people today, over 30% of the world's population. And that number is still growing. To emphasize the speed at which Christianity spread in those early days, when travel and communication was precarious, dangerous, and slow, think of this. When Jesus was born, Augustus was ruler of the Roman Empire, and he never heard of Jesus of Nazareth. In just over three centuries, the Roman Emperor himself became a Christian, and soon after, Christianity was adopted as the sole authorized religion of the Roman Empire, with a population of 55 million. And now, not all that population would be Christians, but all had been given the opportunity of hearing the gospel, and many people outside of the Roman Empire as well. Last week, we heard that Jesus had instructed his followers to wait in Jerusalem for just a few days, until the moment when they will be baptized by the Holy Spirit and receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. As they waited in Jerusalem, they could not know what to expect, but they had faith that something incredible was about to happen. Whatever it was, they could never have imagined just how forceful the coming of the Spirit would be. We heard this read. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, in the Jewish scriptures, there are many references to the work of the Spirit. But even those well-known biblical stories could not have prepared the disciples for the moments they personally received the Holy Spirit. Suddenly they were filled with energy, with knowledge, with determination and courage and love, and their hearts were on fire. Now let's look specifically at Peter and his journey of faith. Since the Passover, Peter, with his well-known frailty, had initially refused Jesus' attempt to wash his feet. He'd fallen asleep in the garden when Jesus had asked him to watch and pray. He'd tried to defend Jesus by slicing off the servant's ear. Then he'd run off with all the other disciples. And he'd indignantly told Jesus that he'd never disown him. Then he denied Jesus three times before the cock crowed. And he'd been nowhere near the cross on Good Friday. But on Easter Sunday, he was the first of the male disciples to enter the empty tomb and face the mystery of Jesus' resurrection. And this is when things for him began to change. Peter was able to make amends and beg Jesus' forgiveness after the resurrection, and was told that he would feed Jesus' sheep. Now he was Peter, a seemingly unschooled fisherman, addressing a crowd of Jewish pilgrims with great authority and very persuasively, defending the actions and words of his fellow disciples, quoting the scriptures extensively, from the book of Joel and Psalms, announcing the beginning of the expected last days and explaining what God's intention was in sending Jesus and what the Jews had done in actually killing him. He taught that God raised Jesus from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. He taught Jesus' resurrection, and 3,000 people that day believed and were baptized. So despite all Peter's human frailties, seen all too obviously in the books of the Gospel, and especially as we read in the lead-up to the crucifixion, Peter has now at last become the rock on which Jesus will build his church. Jesus called him to be a fisher of men, and the fisher of men has got to preach, and Peter did that vividly that morning. Today's story shows very clearly the work of the Holy Spirit in strengthening, motivating, energizing, and enabling Peter and the other disciples to accomplish God's work. And there are many more such stories in both the Old and the New Testament. And the Holy Spirit is present in every aspect of our lives. In the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit active in creation and inspiring the lives of the people, present with them when they are commissioned to perform God's mighty acts. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters during the creation in Genesis 1. He was the Spirit of God who made me, and the breath of the Almighty who gives life in Job chapter 33. And the Spirit sent by God to create and renew the face of the earth. And that's Psalm 104. The Spirit is at work in baptism. Jesus says in John chapter 3 that unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And Peter says in Acts 2, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit is always present in mission. The church at Antioch was inspired by the Holy Spirit to summon Barnabas and Saul to work in Seleucia, Cyprus, and Salamis. That's Acts 13. And later, Paul urged the Ephesians to feed the church of God, of which the Holy Spirit had made them overseers. Acts 20. And Christians approach God in prayer through Jesus and with the support of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul says in Ephesians 6 that we should pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the bringer of all good things, and we are called to recognize the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And St. Paul in Galatians 5 recounts the fruit of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, against which there is no law. And he goes on to charge us that if we live in the Spirit, we must also walk in the Spirit. And today, in Acts 2, we read that the Holy Spirit was there as Jesus commissioned the church. He it was who came upon the disciples, gave them energy and powers beyond their normal faculties, and empowered them to go out to preach the good news throughout the world. So the Holy Spirit is the comforter, the strengthener, the inspirer, the enabler. In John's Gospel, Jesus told his disciples that he'd be going ahead to prepare a mansion for them, but that he will pray the Father to send them another comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his place, who will abide with them forever. That's John 14. The Holy Spirit is sent from the Father and the Son. We must recognize that it can only be fully understood as an integral part of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exist together as one God before time, and are co-equal and co-eternal with but one mind and one purpose. Now all these examples are from the Bible, But we must not think that the Holy Spirit is no longer at work. His gifts were not only given in biblical times, he is with us every moment and is involved in every aspect of our life in the world today. His gifts are always with us and are not given to just a chosen few, but to all of us. Through the Holy Spirit, we are all united in one body of the church, in love for God and for one another. The Holy Spirit blesses us all in different ways and makes each of us unique and distinctive. And these differences unite us more deeply because he gives to everyone as part of his community, the church, everyone contributing his or her own strengths. In the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we have a deeper and restored life in God. This outpouring of the Spirit makes us truly the people of God. And the gift is always ongoing. It's only if we drift away from God that it grows cold. So we need to remain aware that God's gift of the Holy Spirit is always with us. Sometimes it can arrive dramatically, as we heard in today's story. Usually it offers a more gradual and continuous development as he leads us on our journey of faith. And I'm going to return to the journey of faith led by Peter. Today, we read about how, with the blessing of the Spirit, he's able to become the rock on which Jesus will build his church. But that did not mean that his journey of faith was finished. He still had a lot to learn and still had a lot of growing to do. And in Acts 10, we find Peter's journey continuing. He has the dream where he learns that he's to teach the gospel to the family of the foreign Jewish convert Cornelius. And in Galatians 2, we see that St. Peter still has some problems accepting Gentile Christians when Jewish Christians are present. And it takes the intervention of St. Paul to keep him right. So the Holy Spirit is still leading and teaching Peter on his journey of faith. And this is what he does with us. Our faith is constantly being informed and enlivened, and our understanding increased by the blessing of the Holy Spirit. It gives me great joy to say that after 7 decades here on earth and more, I can now reflect on how the Holy Spirit has been working in my life, guiding and nudging and occasionally yelling, poking me in the ribs, etc. I'm sure many of you can relate to this story. I'm only grateful that I have the time to reflect on these things. It's a very important thing. We all must recognise the work of the Spirit in our lives, and we can't start to recognise that too soon. It's a great joy to live with the Spirit in our lives, and we must all live with joy. And we should pray that he who has begun a good work in us will continue to the day of Christ's coming through a constant blessing of the Holy Spirit. Now pray. Loving Father, we come before you to thank you for the constant blessing and inspiration of your Holy Spirit. Like Saint Peter, may we never close our ears or hearts to his guidance. With his support, may we every day continue to grow closer to you in your love. With his strength, may we always seek to do your will. And may he enable us to play the full part you have planned for us in spreading your gospel and in the coming of your kingdom. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.